All right, welcome back. It's another episode of the Reporter's Corner season preview. I'm one half of your co-host, Jared Rubato, with the Bemidji Pioneer. With me is the better half of the co-host, Trent Singer, with Sioux Falls Live. Trent, how are we doing today?
Doing good, man. Hockey season kind of officially begins tomorrow. We're recording this on Monday. And, you know, tomorrow is the CCHA media day. We'll have our suits and ties on. We'll hop on the Zooms. And we'll have all the questions for everybody in the league, or every coach in the league. So yeah, it's kind of officially hockey season tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
Is that what we use? Is that the barometer?
Sure. Yeah. And, if you're looking for our preseason media ballots, you can find those on the previous episode. The one that dropped today, with Bemidji State guests, Jack Hittinger and Lucas Pipenhagen. So, we don't get too much into our preseason ballots with this episode here, but, we did, however, bring on our first student media representative in Nathan Burkett from Bowling Green. He was plugged into the roster, and we love promoting student media whenever we get the chance. And Trent, what did we go over with Nathan today?
Yeah, we got a little bit of his backstory. He just loves hockey, man. That was kind of refreshing, too, to just, you know, he had really good insight, too. It was really awesome talk. The guy who's been covering this team since he got there, he's a sophomore this year, so... Last year was his, you know, first year really immersing himself with the team. But he's been around this Bowling Green program for as long as he can remember, since he was a kid. Played a little hockey in high school, didn't really play a ton, but was an enforcer on his hockey team. And so he talked a little bit about that, which is kind of cool. He does broadcasting with Falcon Media. And then he's also done a lot of writing for them as well. So a guy who just loves it, and, you know, no better person to have on this show than that. We talked a little bit, obviously, about the season outlook. You know, this is a really, really fascinating Bowling Green team. 14 newcomers, 11 transfers, 10 CHL transfers. And when you talk about a team that you don't really know what they're going to look like, this might be the quintessential team in this conference. We really don't know what this Bowling Green team is going to look like. And a lot of it's going to depend on how well these Canadian Hockey League guys, you know, mesh going into this. Will it be fast? You know, will it take a little bit of time? I expect it to maybe be a little bit of some growing pains early on. But I think this is going to be a fascinating team when you start talking about the way they're playing in January and February in the second half of the season. Once all the pieces are kind of in place and they sort of understand their identity a little bit more. Obviously, this is a team that loses Christian Stover as well in net. So there are some questions at goaltender, with Cole Moore kind of being that one number one goalie for them going into the season. They bring in a couple newcomers, a transfer, and a freshman from the CHL. So, yeah, we got his opinion on who he likes as being the points leader, you know, who he likes as kind of being a breakout player on this Bowling Green team. And then also talked a little bit about some strengths and weaknesses of this team, and some series that he's looking forward to. And of course, we closed it out with his takes on this conference at large. And if you look at the media and coaches poll, it's all over the place, and nobody can really determine what this is going to look like this season. So yeah, it was a great chat. Looking forward to keeping that link, you know, moving forward with Nathan. This is the first time we've ever talked with him. That was kind of, maybe the first person we've ever had on that we've never really, like, you know, knew anything about. So, very cool insight that he gave us, and it was a great chat.
Yeah. And I think we get into it a little bit, but you talk about how Bowling Green has so much unknown to it. And I think because of the CHL kids they have, they get kind of thrown into the boom or bust category with a Michigan, right, with a Bemidji State. But I think we also kind of gave some good reasoning as to maybe why they won't be boom or bust, even if some of those adjustments take a little bit longer for the CHL kids coming in. So, yeah, it was a great chat. You know, support your student media. If you are a fan of a team with student media, support your student media. It's very, very important. So, with that said, let's kick it over to our interview with Nathan Burkett. It's time for another season preview interview. And this time, I think, Trent, this might be the first time we've ever had student media on the show.
I think so.
And we're really, really excited to have Nathan Burkett on here. Burkett is, what is it? You're a sophomore with, yep, BG Falcon Media. Thanks for joining the show. Talk to us about about your role covering the Falcons.
All right. Thank you guys for having me. I'm the assistant or co-beat of the hockey team for Falcon Media Sports Network. The other one being Ben Korak. I covered the team a lot last year, and I'm looking forward to covering them again this year. So I'll be throughout the year on broadcasts, writing feature stories about them, recaps, sidebars, previews, basically any type of content for the Falcon Media has, I'll be writing about the Falcons.
Sweet. And just tell us where are you from and how'd you land at BG for a place to attend college?
I'm from Clyde, Ohio, a small town near Cedar Point. It's basically like the biggest landmark near us. So BG's only we all know Cedar Point. BG is about 45 minutes, an hour drive from my house, and I was tempted between both my parents went to different branches of BG. My mom went to main campus, and she was a freshman when they won the 84 championship. So I've been coming to BG hockey games since I was elementary school age. I was tempted between a few different colleges, but in the end, BG just had the best media program and the best hockey team between all the colleges I was debating between. So here I am, 1 year in, and I was lucky enough to become a beat. So
pretty happy. This sounds vaguely similar to Jared's story, except they didn't have a hockey program, right, Jared?
Correct. Yeah, I went to Augustana, but back then there was like five kids in the whole school that could tie a pair of skates, and it was a big basketball school at the time. But I was like, hey, I didn't know I wanted to be a hockey reporter then. I just decided in eighth grade I was going to be a sports reporter. And Augustana had I don't know if it's still titled this, but back in 2014, not to make myself sound older than I feel, but they had a print journalism major, specifically print journalism. And that's what I wanted. So, $80,000 of student loan debt later, here we are.
Shout out to Jeff Miller.
Shout out to Jeff Purple Miller. Yeah,
that's right.
Nathan, we wanted to ask you too, student media is really important. And I think for Trent and I both, it was kind of a launching pad into, the careers we have today in some respects. So just talk about, aspirations for you after college. Is hockey something you want to stick with, or do you have another sport?
For me, I'm really big in – hockey was always my number one. It's always been – I played hockey throughout high school. Wasn't that good at it, but, I played it, I guess. Yeah. But hockey was always my number one. Another sport that I've dipped my toes into a little bit is motorsports, specifically like dirt track racing. But still my number one goal is hockey after college. Find a team, any league. I'll do radio. I'll do journalism. I'll do TV, whatever it takes. I'll see what's available, and hopefully maybe like find a local dirt track in the area to do broadcasting for on the weekends or during the summer.
Yeah, I got to ask too, first of all, what position did you play in hockey? And second, do you ever get behind the wheel on the track?
I was a forward for, I mostly just was on the bench. I was an enforcer for sure. I was not very good at skating, but I could hit people pretty well. And I was the guy I would go and stand in front of the other team's goalie and just set screens and make sure they couldn't see what was going on. And no, I do not drive the race cars. I work at a local dirt track here in Ohio, Attica Raceway Park. I'm the fuel salesman there.
Gotcha.
I interact, and then I help with like the scales after the race. So like I interact with the drivers and their families. I'll like push the cars off the scales, but no, I'm not near talented enough to get behind the sprint car, the wheel of sprint car.
Your hockey resume sounds perfect for this ECHA as just a rough and tumble kind of league where it's gritty. It's not a lot of space, as every single player and coach we've had on here has said. But I think the league is starting to change a little bit. And Bowling Green is a perfect example of why, due to the CHL kids coming in. And this is our expert transition into the Falcons' outlook for 2025-26. Trent, how many CHL kids is it now? Is it 10, I believe, that they have on their opening day
roster? All right. Well, let me count here. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yep, 10.
10.
Nailed it.
10 kids. And I don't know if Bowling Green was an opt-in or opt-out team or if their roster number did get to a little.
Yeah, I'd have to double check on
six, that. But it's a good chunk. Two full lines of CHL kids able to play. Nathan, we'll kick it to you. You're jumping into the college hockey coverage scene in an ever-changing landscape where the rules last year have kind of flipped on their head in some respect. But give us some outlook as to these CHL kids on the roster and kind of just your general thoughts to start it out.
Well, first of all, I'm so excited for this year because of that talent. I feel like at BG got a little bit of a head start into recruiting because a lot of talent who came from to the college scene in general came from the Western Hockey League of the CHL. And Coach Williams, we call him Willie here usually at Falcon Media, but he coached there for many years, coached the junior team for Team Canada a couple of times. So a lot of the players either played under him or played with, or like they saw him playing. So like, because of that, he had a little bit of a door in, he had a little bit of a foot in the front door, if you will. Mm-hmm. So we got a lot of great talent from the WHL. A couple of guys I'm really excited to see. Connor Levis, he fits the style that Coach Willie really likes of a guy who goes in front of the other team's net, scores rebounds, scores tip-in shots. Coach Willie talked about last year how he wants players who are willing to crash the net, and that's a Connor Levis type player. Ty Higgins was a great player in the QMJHL last year. He was one of the best defensemen in the QMJHL. Dominic Rimone recently won on the coaches poll, was named one of the preseason rookie of the year candidates. So our goalies, Jacob Steinman, Tyler Palmer, both of them, they look fantastic. Obviously, it's going to be a transition from junior hockey or in Palmer's case, Canadian college hockey to American hockey. But at the same time, there's just a lot of raw talent on this team that's coming up.
And I want to piggyback off of a little comment that you just made there. You like what you've seen from the goalies. And obviously, that's a big question mark for this team. You talk about losing a guy like Christian Stover, I mean, who was quite literally one of the best goalies in the country in a lot of metrics last season. Jacob Steinman enters the fold. They also have Tyler Palmer, who is a transfer from Alberta, a U Sports transfer. You know, and obviously they've got the big guy in Cole Moore too, and I know he'll have a say. Just that competitiveness in that room. I mean, where do you kind of see that playing out? I mean, is there still a lot of questions to be answered there, or what are you kind of seeing?
We don't know what Coach Willie will do. Over the summer, I wrote a couple articles predicting what will happen, or like just taking my best guess. My personal guess is probably you'll see Colmar still get a majority of the starts while Palmer and Steinman adjust to CCHA play. Although Palmer, he played under Coach Willie in his WHL career, so I could also understand if Palmer gets a nod because he already has that trust with Coach Willie. So, but in my personal opinion, I saw and what I said over the summer was you're probably going to see Cole Moore get about 50% of the starts with Steinman and Palmer splitting the rest of the games as they just get adjusted.
Okay. You talk about that adjustment too. And, you know, that's when I think of the CHL kids coming into college hockey, I can't remember which of these preview episodes I said this on, but there's a lot of unknown right now of kids that are coming from a league that have never made that jump straight from either the WHL, the QMJHL, or the OHL straight into college hockey. And there's a lot of expectations for these kids, whether they are leaving the CHL early or aged out of the CHL like BG's CHL kids are. But when you look at the numbers in terms of the kids they're bringing in, right, you have Ty Higgins, a defenseman who had 80 points. Brian Lonergan was a freshman defenseman. He had 20 points in 58 games. And there was another one with Tanner Scott, a forward, played at 20 points in 33 games. Other than those two, to go back to Tyler Higgins, you have Jeremy Minville, who had 71 points in 68 games. Noah Morneau, who had 90 points in 80 games. Connor Levis had 60 points in 69 games. Braden Crampton had 85 points in 87 games. 62 points in 72 games for Brandon Wynon, and 77 points in 75 games for Dominic Rymen. I mean, these point totals are absolutely ridiculous. And I think they mimic a lot of the point totals of other CHL kids that are making their way to college hockey, not just in the CCHA, but all of college hockey. But when you pair, when you're compiling so many kids with those resumes in, it does kind of feel like it's a little bit of boomer bust for Bowling Green, at least in the early part while they get their feet under them. Talk about just the managing expectations part for Bowling Green fans of, hey, we have all this talent coming in, but it is a little bit of an adjustment for these kids, and it could take a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, there's people here who have opinions of we might win a national championship this year, which I mean, is it technically possible? Yes, but I feel like especially at the beginning, you got to remind the fans, give these kids a chance. You know, yes, they're coming from the CHL. Yes, they had insane point totals in the CHL. It's still going to be an adjustment period. It's a different style of hockey, especially like going from, I would say like the CCHA in its own right is like a different style of college hockey because it's more physical. It's more, it's just like that. It's just more physical than the other divisions of college hockey. So for a lot of these guys, it's going to take some time for them to get adjusted to this style of hockey and get used to Coach Willie's style. Obviously for Palmer and Rymon, they've played under him before, so probably a little bit less of an adjustment period, but still it's going to take time. And so especially at the beginning, be patient with these guys. I don't know if we're going to win a national championship this year, but I guess there's always a possibility.
I want to follow that up to something you said earlier about Willie, Coach Dennis Williams. And not only is he coming from the CHL and have that background, Trent and I had him on the show, and we detailed his entire coaching resume. He's coached in, like, every possible league. And in terms of seeing what kind of talent translates to college hockey, seeing the kind of players he wants to fit his system – whatever he needed to see, if there's a coach you have to feel confident in terms of assembling a roster with this many new players and the expectations that come with them to perform and banking on them to make this team into what people think they could be, Dennis Williams feels like the right guy to do that because of his experience. Talk to me about just being on the beat last year, seeing his first year and how it evolved into, a really, really good year and a big step up with them going to the Mason Cup semifinals.
I mean, yeah, Coach Willie, the players talked about it last year. There's just something about him. He imposes confidence into his teams. He has such an amazing resume throughout all the different leagues he's coached in. I asked him during the playoffs last year, like, about the adjustment from, like, coaching in the WHL playoffs or 7 games to coaching in the CHL playoffs CCHA playoffs. And he gave like great answers about how he himself had to go for an adjustment period and get used to it. And he struggled at times to understand the standings last year, especially with Augustana having like the percentage while everyone else was under points. So it's a very simple like game plan. It's high shot volume. It's high physicality. It's crash to net. And we were one of the best teams for getting shots on goal last year. His motto is kind of like take it day by day, game by game, focus. And overall, I said this last year on a radio show here. I do believe that within the next 4 years, BG will be back in the NCAA playoffs. And in my mind, probably Frozen Four, maybe competing for a national championship. And it's all because of Coach Willie.
Yeah, I mean, let's contextualize this a little bit too, because you mentioned they were one of the leading shot teams last year in the CCHA. A big difference from a year prior, obviously when Ty Eigner was his last season. That team struggled a little bit on offense at times, and it was definitely a time for a change at that position. And they go with Dennis Williams, and honestly, the timing here is really, I think, what's important to really look at. They hire Dennis Williams, and a year later, the CHL allows this new avenue for players to come into the NCAA Couldn't work out perfect for them because of his ties through Everett. I'm curious to know, when you look at this roster, whether it's the newcomers or the guys that are coming back, we know that there's one that's been named to a preseason team. Who do you like? Who is your pick as the guy who, when it's all said and done, is going to be leading this team in points at the end of the season?
Honestly, I like Ben Durant. I know, okay. Brody Waters was the one who was added to the preseason All-CCHA team. And Waters, I feel like, will be second in points. He's a very big goal scorer, especially on the power play. Was, I believe, second or third in the entire NCAA.
On the power play.
Amazing on the power play. But Ben Durant plays in a way where he can score goals. He can get assists. He is just all over the ice. He's very similar to how Ryan O'Hara played last year. And he's also good on the faceoff circle. So, and especially with these questions of where we're not, we don't know how long it'll take for these CHL players to adjust. Having a guy like Ben Durant who can basically do everything and help these guys adjust, I feel like by the end of the year, he'll probably be the team leader in points.
I think another name to throw out there, and maybe not leading in points, but just in terms of his value, is a reporter's corner veteran, Dalton Norris. And he had 15 assists last year. And I think with him taking maybe even more of a top power play unit role, bagging what, 25, 26, 27 minutes a night, he's very offensively gifted on the blue line. And that's another guy where, end of the year, it shouldn't shock people if he's got 20-plus points from that blue line.
Absolutely. Being the captain this year, too. Him and his defensive partner, Gustav Sternberg, are our best D partner, like our best D pair. The way they work together, usually you'll see Sternberg is more of a defensive defenseman sometimes, but he can still contribute offensively. Norris was great at moving the puck. A lot of times, I feel like last year, he didn't get as many assists as he could have because he'll set up the play, but then there'll be one too many passes where he'll just get excluded from the score sheet. But so, yeah, I 100% agree. He will probably be one of our best point getters as well, especially getting more reps on the power play. I mean, the experience, especially him entering his senior season, is the same as I said for Durant, experienced guy to help these young defensemen that we got. Because we have like four of them in my mind who are new to this program and are going to take time to adjust. And I see them getting playing time right away. And I feel like Norris will be there along with Sternberg and a couple of the other guys to help them adjust.
Think about strengths and weaknesses. It might be a little bit of a loaded question for this group because there is so much unknown, but for what we do know about this team, give us your biggest strength and weakness for BG this year.
Strengths based on last year and based on the style I know Coach Willie likes to play and based on the recruits, it's going to be shot percentage or like shot volume. Jeremy Melville, if I remember correctly from my notes, averaged like over 4 shots a night in the QMJHL. I might have been wrong. He might have like 3.8. Still very high shot volume. I know Brandon Wynot had a very high shot volume. A lot of our players, I remember last year, there'd be times where we would have multiple players have more than 5 shots on goal. So I do not expect any of that to change. If anything, I expect more shot volume this year. In terms of weaknesses, just because there's so much of a question, I'm probably going to say goaltending, especially when Palmer and Jacob Steinman are adjusting. I feel like there might be a couple of times where we might put them out there to see how they're doing and they might struggle. So, and based on what I remember from last year and in previous years, Cole Moore is a goalie who he is very good when he starts, but he does struggle sometimes when he has to step in for either an injury or if someone else is, like if one of the rookies struggles and they have to be pulled, he sometimes struggles on the first couple of shots when he's put into a game cold. So there might be a couple games where goaltending could be a concern.
Yeah, you know, and Cole Moore, last year was a little bit of a weird situation for him too, because Stover kind of stepped back in and just grabbed the role from him. And as a goalie, you know, to get that consistency, sometimes it does take, you know, being able to play night in and night out. You know, you look at the college hockey schedule, it's like you're playing 2 nights on the weekends And then you've got all this time off. It's vastly different, you know, from that junior landscape where there's far more games. It's a longer season. But, you know, I do like what you've said, though, about Cole Moore kind of being that guy to start the season. And then, you know, obviously maybe getting pushed by these other two just to break everybody down. I mean, you know, this team, 14 newcomers, three guys who are technically transfers, one U Sports. They've got a transfer from RPI, shout out to Perry and Tyler Hotson. And then they've got another transfer from Miami of Ohio and Rehards. I'm not even going to try. Simonovic. We're not going to try that. Simonovic. Yeah, you probably know it.
Yeah, I have not fully learned it yet. Yeah, yeah. Simonovic, I think.
Yep.
Something around
You're Rehards. Right. Three transfers in 11 freshmen. I'm curious from, you know, your take when you sort of look at this roster, is there a guy under the radar who you're looking to possibly be a breakout guy? Maybe somebody who didn't score, like didn't show up on the stat sheet as much last season, but somebody who can emerge on this roster that you think is going to see a little bit of an uptick.
A couple of guys just come to mind. I would say number one, Tyler Hotson. He had a great year last year at RPI and the year before as well. Yep. I sometimes like forget about how excited, like, and how big of a player I think he can be, just because he kind of flies under the radar with all these forwards we're getting from the CHL. But right. I definitely think, especially because he has experience, he could definitely be a big player. Another one I'm going to throw out there, Quinn Emerson. He's not always on the score sheet, but he's always contributing in his own way. Also, the positivity in the locker room. I have never seen a guy smile more than Quinn Emerson. I've never seen someone just happy to be a hockey player more than Quinn Emerson. And Indiana. So I feel like, and of course, he scored the overtime goal against Michigan Tech in the playoffs last year. So yep. I could see Quinn Emerson getting having a big uptick, especially heading into a senior season.
You stole my pick. That's Quinn Emerson was the guy I was looking to. I'll throw another one out there. Brett Foe, 18 points last year, a little bit undersized kid, but he's a kid where you watch him play and he's consistently in the right spot every time. And I can't imagine Willie has too much of complaints of a kid like that either. So
he's fast too.
Yeah, very fast. When it comes to, you know, maybe, you know, we've talked about the freshman, the incoming transfer class, to give us a guy we haven't talked about yet that you think is poised for, you know, the most impact right away. They start that first night and they're right there where they could have an impact right away in game one.
Are we talking about the rookies?
Rookies, yeah. Or transfers, whoever.
I'm going to say, or the newcomers, I'm going to say Braden Crampton. In the media poll, that was my pick for rookie of the year early. He's a guy who puts up a lot of points on the blue line, but also he's a physical guy, and that's going to be important to see CHA. He's a big guy, kind of reminds me of Sternberg in a way. I remember when I was first doing research on him last year when he was first committing, when you look up Braden Crampton highlights on YouTube, the first three videos that pop up are just him fighting. And, you know, like, that's the kind of energy I kind of like to have on my team. And he can produce offensively. He's good defensively. He's physical. He's not afraid to drop the gloves. Might lead to a couple penalties, but it's definitely going to be entertaining, and I definitely see him producing right away and also being a fan favorite.
Spoken like a true enforcer, man.
Yep. By the way, 87 games, 10 goals, 75 assists. 87.
Yeah, some of these.
And his Spokane Chiefs went on a deep playoff run, too.
Yeah. Some of these numbers are a little absurd when you look at these CHL guys. And I know it's an offensive league at times, and some of these leagues it certainly is. And, you know, that you got to take that into account. But, man, you have to be pretty excited with this freshman class that they're bringing in. It's unlike anything we've ever seen. I mean, we've literally never seen what this is going to look like. You know, we have no bar of what this is going to look like at the college level. And Bowling Green is, I think, in this league, the best example of kind of what we're going to see with all the CHL impact right away. Because these guys are going to get minutes, man. I mean, you talk about 14 new guys on a team of 28 players. You know, that's half your roster. Some of these guys are going to be starting right away. They're going to be in the lineups right away. They're going to be in the top six. You know, they're going to be competing for top D spots. You know, obviously the goalie situation, it plays into that as well. Let's look a little bit more contextualizing kind of this season. And I'm curious to know from your opinion, you look at the schedule, what series, give me your non-conference and your conference series that you're looking forward to the most when you kind of dig into this Bowling Green schedule of what they're going to play. You know, obviously you've got some of those mainstays at the beginning of the schedule, but then when you get into conference play, it gets pretty interesting too.
I would say for non-conference, I want to say Notre Dame, but you got to say Ohio State. It's,
of course,
a pretty big rivalry matchup between BG and Ohio State. This year it's in January. Usually it's in October, which is usually weird because you will see BG in that week where we play Ohio State in hockey. It's a school that hates Ohio State. Then the next week Ohio State will play Michigan in football, and this school will turn back into an Ohio State fan club. But for a week, like, we do not like Ohio State.
Wait, hang on one sec. You guys cheer for Michigan when Ohio State and Michigan?
No, the school's BG cheers for Ohio State, but I'm saying, like, you'll see like a jump because there's a big rivalry in hockey, and then a lot of students here cheer for Ohio State in football.
Right.
So you'll see a noticeable jump from us playing them in hockey where it's like everyone hates Ohio State. All of a sudden they play Ohio State plays Michigan and this school loves Ohio State again. But I feel like you have to pick them. Also, we haven't beat them in a long time. It's been multiple years, so it's definitely exciting to get to. I feel like we have a good chance this year to beat them both in our home barn at the Slater Family Ice Arena, but also go to Columbus and have a chance to beat them in front of their home crowd. In terms of in-conference series, I'm looking forward to, you got to say Michigan Tech or St. Thomas just because of the rivalry. Last year against St. Thomas, there was multiple fights. Going back to, like, I would – over the summer, I would get bored and watch highlights, as one does. And I have not seen a series where I have seen more fans flipping off players and more players flipping off fans. Like, if you go back and specifically watch the Falcon Media Sports Network's highlight tape on YouTube, at the very end in the game that St. Thomas won, you will see like two or three of their players flipping off our fans, like right against the glass. And so I just think, just for the pure rivalry and the pure just excitement from those series, I got to go with those ones.
I want to add one thing before we move on any further too. I just noticed this little schedule release that Bowling Green did with walking around and asking fans, I think it was just throughout Slater Family Ice Arena, of what they thought. I thought it was brilliant. They do it in the NFL. I don't know if you saw the video, Nathan.
I did not.
But they just ask people, you know, like who this team is, and, you know, show them a picture. I thought it was brilliant work by their graphics team, but I guess their like media team that they have over there. But I just wanted to add, I thought that was kind of cool.
I'm also a little surprised you didn't throw the Beavers in there as a series after the games played last year that
were so wild.
Bananas.
There were, especially that overtime game. I was there as a fan, the one at BG. There was two. I was at, when they were at BG, there was both overtime games.
Back-to-back nights.
Yeah, it was where Christian Stover, I still to this day don't know how he made half those saves.
It doesn't make sense. Man.
I said this on a radio show last year. He broke like at least 8 laws of physics to make those saves. Like, I have no idea how he did any of it, but that's the kind of player Stover was. So, and I will say, like, the excitement definitely for Bemidji. You can probably put them as like the third team, but I don't know. I didn't see fans flipping off players during Bemidji, and I didn't see players flipping off fans.
It's true.
No, that Christian Stover performance reminded me of those like Scott Sterling videos where he's just getting the piss beat out of him with a soccer ball. And like, Scott Sterling! Like, I thought Kevin Peele was just going to start screaming, Christian Stover! Over and over and over again.
It's a great highlight.
Nathan, finish this sentence for us. And we've been asking this to everybody on these preview episodes, but Bowling Green will have a successful season if blank happens.
If the CHL players are able to adjust quickly, I'm going to give them a lot of slack in the first, like, we'll say the first month is mostly exhibition games and like non-conference games. I'll give them slack in like the first month plus like maybe the first couple of conference matchups, but it depends on who adjusts and how quickly, because if none of them adjust, I don't see us doing well. In my opinion, a lot of them will adjust and adjust quickly. And if that happens, I see we could go all the way to the CCHA championship, maybe make the NCAA playoffs. I don't know if we're going to win the Natty this year like some fans do, but yeah, I guess there's always a chance.
I think that, you know, that's the obvious one. I think every single person who knows of BG's situation this year will point to that being the answer to the question. It really does come down to, you know, can their CHL kids make that adjustment and how fast they can make that adjustment. Well, I'll throw another one out there, and it's to kind of go back to what we've talked about already on this episode. It's that if Cole Moore finds his freshman year form again, I mean, I'll attest that his freshman year he was the best goalie in the CCHA, despite Matias Scholl winning the award. Cole Moore was the reason why Bowling Green was in second place with 1 weekend to go in the CCHA standings. And obviously, it didn't crack their way. They lose in the first round. Tough way to go out. Stover kind of reclaimed the net last year, and for good reason. I mean, he was brilliant. One of the top 10 goalies in the country, for Bowling Green last year. But if Cole Moore is able to find that consistency again in his game and get back to the goalie he was as a freshman, game to game, weekend to weekend, it buys Bowling Green a lot of time for those adjustments to come for the CHL kids. And you can live with getting outshot, getting outpossessed if Cole Moore is going to go back to the goalie he was, especially when you have guys like Brody Waters and Ben Duran who can kind of carry the load offensively for them.
Absolutely. My personal belief is it's easier to succeed as a hockey team if you have a mediocre roster and a great goalie than if you have a mediocre goalie and a great roster. I think BG has a great in both categories, but again, as you are there adjusting, if Colmore can step up or if one of the rookie goalies can step up, buy us time to adjust to the game even more so. It's kind of a double-edged sword having so many of leading the CCHA in pure number of recruits from the CHL. Because on one hand, if they pan out like the way many people think they will, we might have just an amazing roster. And I think we already do have an amazing roster. But if it takes them time, then we might be stuck with we don't have a lot of guys who have played a lot of significant minutes of college hockey. So having people who can buy us time while they adjust and we get better throughout the year, then that's going to be huge.
No doubt. Yeah, we want to get into your take on a little bit of the league as a whole, the league at large. Give us your top four teams at the end of the regular season, those four teams that are going to have home ice for the Mason Cup playoffs, and then your pick on who's going to win that McNaughton Cup.
Well, number one is going to be, in my opinion, Minnesota State again. Just throwing that out there. Alex Tracy is just too good. Evan Murr on defense coming back. They lost some players, but it's almost always going to be Minnesota State. It's going to at least get home ice, in my opinion. Number two, I put Augustana. I think Josh Kotai is just that good of a goalie for them that he's going to help carry them. Number three, Bowling Green. I don't think there's any bias in that pick. Some people might argue there is, but in my opinion, we have a roster that, if they pan out, will be among the best. And they could be higher, they could be lower. It all depends on where we end up when they had come to adjustments. And then number four, I'm going to go Michigan Tech. They had a lot of good players last year. They lost some good ones, but they also retain a lot of good players from last year. They have a solid core. I believe in them.
I'll be honest, man. I don't think it's a biased pick by any means. I frequent the Michigan Tech Discord from time to time, and they're high on Bowling Green, as they should be. I think this is a very intriguing team. I think it's intriguing for a number of reasons, obviously, and I think it's even beyond what you have in the CHL. I really like what they bring back. I mean, you talk about guys like Brody Waters. We hardly even touched on Brody, but yeah, I mean, I he's taken such a big step from year one to year two, and now going into year three, like, This is an intriguing team for a number of reasons. I see zero bias in your pick, honestly.
I've also, a lot of people were surprised that Gustav Sternberg did not transfer. I'm very happy he didn't. He is arguably our most entertaining player to watch just from a physicality standpoint. So you have guys like Waters, like Sternberg, like Emerson, like Duran, like Norris. The list goes on and on. Cole Moore, where it's like you have a good returning core and you have a good core coming in. And in the end, I'm high on this team. I'm confident in this team. But because I don't know, we don't truly know what's going to happen. That's why I put him third. Yeah.
How many teams out of the CCHA make the NCAA tournament, and what teams make it this year?
Well, you obviously have the guaranteed one. I'm going to say maybe only two, maybe three. I would say Minnesota State, because Minnesota State, and then Bowling Green. I'm going to give them a shot. I say Bowling Green can make it this year. And then if we want to maybe throw in a third one, I wouldn't be surprised if Augustana makes it. I don't know if they're eligible yet.
They're good to go.
I can see them. I would say I'm more confident in Bowling Green and Minnesota State making it, but I could also see Augustana.
I gotta ask. Obviously, go ahead, Trent.
Obviously, the big. I like your take there. The big thing here is non-conference, and this whole league needs to be better in non-conference. Do you see this league though, just in general, just being better than it was, kind of from what we've seen the last couple years to where, you know, we're going now, the league as a whole? I mean, do you just kind of feel like it's going to be elevated, and you know, how does that sort of play out?
Yeah, I mean, we got a lot of talent from the CHL. I feel like from pure talent spec like standpoint, I feel like every college team is getting better with allowing CHL talent.
Right.
But I don't know. We don't know how in the end the CCHA talent is going to adjust compared to other conferences. I still say CCHA is, in my opinion, or like I feel like in most people's opinion for college hockey, more of a middle tier conference. Like it's not quite to the level of a Hockey East or a NCHC. But in my opinion, like we are on the up and up again. Unfortunately, I saw St. Thomas is going to be leaving us after this year. I think that's going to might be a big blow for us as a conference, especially because they're a very good team. So losing them might hurt us a little bit, but I still say overall, especially with so much talent, so many teams, especially like teams like Northern Michigan last year who struggled a lot, I see them doing pretty good this year and being a competitive squad. So I say, yeah, as a league, we're on the up and up again. We're going to keep improving. We're going to keep getting better. And I would say this year, especially, and maybe even more so next year, out of conference games are going to be really exciting for us as a conference.
You mentioned St. Thomas, and I'm curious because you're not the first person who left St. Thomas out of their top four when you best. And I'm curious, where do you have them slotting in? Is it right at five?
Yeah.
I had a feeling.
I mean, they have a great team, and I understand they have a great team. Lucas Wallen is a great player, but in my opinion, they lost Cooper Gay. They lost Liam Malmquist. They lost Jake Seibel. Those are three guys who really carried them in my mind. Like last year, like I will never forget the one game against St. Thomas where BG had 58 shots on goal and we lost one.
Yeah.
And I remember trying to interview or in the press conference afterward, talking to players and talking to Coach Willie, and I didn't have any questions. It's like, what do you do?
Yeah.
Shot 59 would have tied it for you. I don't know. But those are a lot of guys who were really good and they're gone. So I see St. Thomas having maybe a lesser of a year compared to what they had last year just because they lost such good talent.
For sure. Of the teams we haven't talked about, who's your big sleeper? A bottom four team that you have slotted in right now that's, it's the last month of the season and they're right in the mix for the McDonough Cup.
I don't know about maybe winning. I have Northern Michigan making the playoffs this year in my mind.
Actually interesting.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people still have them missing. I don't know. I'm confident in them. I feel like I saw they didn't win a lot of games last year, obviously, but there was a lot of promise when you would watch like their highlights. It's like they had a lot of freshmen and I feel like they're going to get better. I see them making the playoffs as either the 7th or 8th team in there, but I see them making it and getting more experience, getting even better for next year. I wouldn't be surprised if Bemidji has a good year either. They're very good. I have them making it as like the sixth team. So honestly, I'm very high on basically almost any team in the CCHA. The only team I don't have making the playoffs right now is Ferris State, just because in my mind they lost a lot of talent and they weren't able to bring in as much talent as they lost, in my opinion.
You're doing a great job of teeing up our next episode for Northern Michigan, but I don't hate the pick at all. And they bring back four double-digit point getters. Jakob Altrichter and Graydon Slipik are two big ones. They have some questions in goal, and that's going to be the big thing for them is who's going to play goalie and fill in those Ryan Ouellette shoes, who he was so outstanding for them last year. But I love that pick of a team that can fly under the radar and, oh, they're in 6th, 7th, 8th place, and a team you don't want to play when March rolls around. So.
And it was their coach's first year. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, you can't expect a new coach to come in and really have success unless his name is Coach Dennis Williams, because Coach Dennis is, in my mind, one of the greatest hockey coaches out there. Just the way he's able to jump in and just coach anyone and lead to success. But I mean, it was Northern Michigan's first year under a new coach. I see them getting even better this year as their coach improves, builds more repertoire with their fans, with their players. So again, I see them doing well this year.
Absolutely. Nathan, that's all we got for you. Thank you so much for hopping on and talking about Falcons this year. It's an exciting year for fans and media alike over there in Ohio, and best of luck to you on the beat. Keep up the good work covering the Falcons.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on. This was a blast.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Once again, thank you to Nathan Burkett for joining the show, and thank you to our producer, Perry Lascaris. Subscribe to the CCHA show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from, and subscribe to the CCHA on YouTube. Follow us on Twitter at Trent Singer and at Jared Urbato BP. You can check out our work at BemidjiPioneer.com and SiouxFallsLive.com.